All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We are already in hour two of the Daily Faceoff Trade Deadline Special. It is delivered by DoorDash. Our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the app and enter the promo code NATION25. But a shout out to our presenting sponsor today, DoorDash, that promo code NATION25. Frank, anything else really quick?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on a couple other storylines that have been percolating. It seems like the Flyers haven't really gotten much interest going on Ryan Johansson, who's number 8 on our trade targets board. Something to monitor over the next little bit. I heard you guys speculating about the Florida Panthers and Max Pacioretty, confirming that with Okposo going to Florida, that does mean officially that they are out on Patch. It probably closes the loop, not necessarily asset-wise for the Panthers, but certainly cap space-wise from doing much else today. We'll see what other tricks Bill Zito has up his sleeve. And I think that's all I got for the moment.
All right. Thank you very much, Frank. Hour two of our Daily Faceoff Trade Deadline Special is underway. We've had a handful of big moves already made today on the program, and one of them was out in Winnipeg. And I think I got the okay here to head out to our guest line, which is brought to you by Tim Hortons. Get ready for this. You can roll up the rim to win. It's back. And it's all for Tim's 60th anniversary. You can play on the Tim's app to win prizes. They got a daily cash jackpot of $10,000, an all-electric Volkswagen ID.4, sun-soaked Hilton getaways. There is a lot you can win between now and March 31st. You can download the Tim's app to play. Let's head out to the guest line and bring in our friend, Ken Wiebe. Ken Wiebe, one half of the Kenny and Rennie show, the Jets beat writer for the Winnipeg Free Press. Ken, thanks so much for doing this. I know it's a busy day. Tyler Toffoli is a Jet. Are you surprised Kevin Cheveldayoff made another big splash here on deadline?
Yeah, good morning. Great to be with you from Seattle. Not really surprised. It's what I wrote in my piece in the Winnipeg Free Press this morning. Optimal circumstances for the Jets to take a run here. They have Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuck in the last year before their new deals kick in with, you know, raises in excess of $2 million. They had roughly just under $5 million of cap space. So they were looking for a guy on the right side, probably to play with Sean Monahan and Nikolaj Ehlers. Kevin Cheveldayoff, sort of trying to echo his move from 2018 when they brought Paul Stastny into the picture and made their run to the Western Conference Finals. So great addition, brings championship experience, can probably bring a boost to the power play. Obviously, he's a scorer and he's a guy who plays hard and has that championship pedigree. He has connections to Sean Monahan, also Alex Iafallo and Gabriel Vilardi. So the fit should be pretty smooth and seamless. And Toffoli's also a guy who lit it up against the Jets in the bubble playoff year when Montreal made their way to the Cup final.
Tyler Toffoli is a Winnipeg Jet. Kevin Cheveldayoff making two big adds, both up front in that forward group. Are you surprised there hasn't been any activity on the blue line, or do you think Cheveldayoff and company are pretty set with what they have back there?
Yeah, I think they're still going to be kicking around on a depth defenseman. I mean, they were either going to go top six forward or maybe second pairing defenseman. I could see Eric Johnson's a guy whose name has been tossed around a lot here, another guy with championship experience. We know the Jets love their Minnesota guys, and you know, we know that Johnson is a guy who has that cup run with the Colorado Avalanche from 2022. He would be that type of player, a guy who could bring some edge and maybe be a guy that's in and out of the lineup depending on the matchup. Maybe, you know, they have some depth down in the minors with Kyle Capobianco and Ville Heinola on the prospect side. But I would expect the Jets are going to add a defenseman at some point, but probably more on that depth side. Most of their cap money probably used up in the Toffoli deal. I haven't seen if there's some retention, maybe they could aim a little higher, but I would imagine it's more on the depth side right now.
Yeah, we're all still waiting for the final details to come through on this one. This Western
one big
arm
one on that front. Sounds like I don't think that the Canadiens' second rounder from 2024 is part of the deal. So, I mean, they still have some capital there. Obviously, the first rounder from this year is gone, but it's a nice piece of business for the Jets if that piece is not involved. And it sounds like it isn't.
This Western arms race continues throughout both the Central and the Pacific. A handful of these teams with cup aspirations moving on from first-round picks and high-end prospects, and the Jets do not sit on their hands. You mentioned, Ken, his connection with a whole bunch of guys on this roster. Is there a spot in this lineup you think Toffoli maybe slots best?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he'll be riding shotgun with Sean Monahan and Nikolaj Ehlers. Now, again, we're not 100% sure on the status of Gabriel Vilardi, if that upper body injury that's kept him out of the lineup, it will keep him out of the lineup this weekend. Rick Bonus expected to provide a bit of an update, or else Kevin Cheveldayoff will back in Winnipeg on the severity of that injury. But I would imagine that he slots in there. Obviously, he's a guy you could bump up with Scheifele and Connor as well, given his skill set. Really skilled player that you know, gets involved as well. And I love this move for the Jets. I mean, I thought maybe they could be aiming at Bishnevich, you know, a bit of a younger guy, but Toffoli, you know, checks a lot of boxes and has been such a productive player over the course of the years, and you know, just a guy who fits really well either on that second line or the first line if necessary.
All right, Ken, the Jets beat writer for the Winnipeg Free Press. Check out the Kenny and Rennie show as well. Appreciate you hopping on for a quick hit here. Thanks, Ken.
My pleasure. Have a great day, gentlemen.
There you go. Ken Wiebe from Winnipeg and, well, in Seattle. Frank is ready to roll on the Wendy's Insider Cam. Frank, what do we got?
Yeah, so that return is official on Tyler Toffoli. I'm told it's a 2025 second round pick and a 2024 third round pick. So Tyler Toffoli going from New Jersey to Winnipeg, 2025 second round pick, 2024 third round pick, and a depth transaction as well for the New York Rangers, who grabbed defenseman Chad Ruweedle from the Pittsburgh Penguins in exchange for a 2027 fourth round pick, if I could spit that out.
Do we know anything, just to put you on the spot, salary retention in the Toffoli deal, third party broker, anything like that?
I do not have details on that yet. Yep. I will check and get back to you.
All right. Thank you very much. Chad Ruweedle going from the Penguins to the Rangers as well. Frank keeping us up to date with the Wendy's Insider Cam. Let's wheel on back to our main panel of Colby Cohn and Carter Hutton. Gentlemen, we got the return for Toffoli, a second and a third round pick. Not all that surprising, but again, Frank had touched on over the last couple of days that things were shifting towards a bit of a buyer's market. A guy like Toffoli, who should be considered a premium rental, not getting a first. Gensel not getting a guaranteed first in that move either. It really does feel like this is a buyer's market right now, Cole.
It certainly does. And, you know, you kind of hear about what the prices were, and it actually kind of goes back to Tanev. I think a lot of people expected Tanev to bring a first round pick back. Personally, I didn't. But a lot of people were expecting it. We saw Sean Walker provide a first round pick back, but I think that's only because they took the Ryan Johansson contract back. So teams look like they want to hang on to those guaranteed first round picks. You see Toffoli bringing in a couple of second and thirds. And then you sort of wonder, what does that mean for, say, a guy like Scott Laughton in Philadelphia? Although he has term and you could eat some of his money to juice the price on him, but it seems like GMs who thought maybe they were going to get away with selling really high on some of their guys and maybe a guy like Frank Vatrano is one of them, aren't getting the prices they're asking for, Carter. So maybe there's a little bit of a, you know, looking at your strategy and having to adjust on the fly.
Yeah, I think
Carter,
so,
not
too.
Only,
Go ahead. No, just a bit of game of cat and mouse here too, right? I feel like sometimes the market kind of identifies itself early, where this year it just seems like the waiting game was going. Obviously, Tanev was a big piece. And then I feel like that kind of set the tone. Now, as we close in on this trade deadline, it seems like the market's weak in that sense. And it wasn't an overly huge market to begin with names. So I think, you know, early on where are teams adding. But what I love about this market, again, is we don't have like a clear cut favorite to win the Stanley Cup, where some years teams have already identified themselves. We got a few different ones. So it'll be interesting, I think, moving forward, what comes of this. But I still like this ad for the Jets. You know, this is a big ad, getting Toffoli at a decent, you know, pick in return here, a couple picks.
Yeah, couple of picks, second and a third rounder. Let's slap a grade on this bad boy and head out. Check in with our pal, Matt Larkin. Our trade grade is brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Larkin, we got the return, a second and a third. Kevin Cheveldayoff and Tom Fitzgerald linking up here on this one. Let's throw a grade on it.
Okay, Tyler, this is an A trade for the Winnipeg Jets for me. They're responding to that arms race we're getting in the Central now, with Dallas getting Tanev, Colorado adding a lot of pieces. And if you look at the Jets, look at that core: Mark Scheifele, Connor Hellebuyck, Nikolaj Ehlers, Kyle Connor, Josh Morrissey. All these guys are between 27 and 30 years old. I think that Cheveldayoff understands this team kind of has to shoot its shot. Winnipeg, 24th on the power play in the NHL. Worst power play efficiency of any team in a playoff spot right now. So they're really addressing a need, especially with Gabe Vilardi's status kind of up in the air. And it's a B minus for the Devils. I'm trying to be nice to Tom Fitzgerald here. Like the guys were saying, it's sort of a reaction to the market. I would have liked to see a first round pick just based on Tyler Toffoli's value in a vacuum. That's an 8-time 20 goal scorer. He's going to have a third 30 goal season this year. He's a Stanley Cup winner, but you have to react to what's happening. You only have literally so many hours left to get something for an expiring asset. We know they couldn't agree on term, as Fitzgerald said earlier in the week. So a second and third, it's fine. B minus, I'm okay with it. I would have liked to see a first.
The remaining pending UFAs on this Devils roster up front, couple of depth bottom fourth line guys in Thomas Nosek and Chris Tierney on the blue line, Colin Miller, Brendan Smith, Curtis McDermott. If someone's looking for some toughness, if you were in the shoes of Tom Fitzgerald, what would you be looking to do for the rest of the day? Would you be looking to get what you can for these UFAs, or maybe look to flip these assets for someone with term? Try give this team an outside shot of getting in. What should Tom Fitzgerald get up to?
I think if you're looking at those websites like Money Puck, the playoff odds for the Devils have really dwindled. I don't think it's very realistic for them to be thinking of themselves as a playoff team right now, even when it comes to pursuing that elusive goaltender. I feel like that's got to happen kind of in the summer now. I don't think there's a rush anymore. That said, Brendan Smith, if you look deeper, he's someone who under the hood has been pretty good defensively this year. A veteran, he can handle himself if he gets into some rough stuff from time to time as well. Brother of Riley, of course. So I think Brendan Smith is maybe one piece you could get maybe a mid to late round pick for. That would be who I'm trying to shop if I'm Tom Fitzgerald.
There you go. Matt Larkin with our trade grades brought to you by Betano. We'll be checking in a little bit more with Matt throughout the rest of the day as we get finalized deals. Thank you, Matt. Let's keep cruising along and get to another one of our featured videos, which are brought to you by Fountain Tire. More than just tires, they offer a wide range of auto repair services from their expert mechanics. Visit fountaintire.com to see all the mechanical services they offer. Give it an A and a B out in that deal. It sounds like maybe a win-win. And I tasked our managing editor and senior writer, Matt Larkin, with going back through deadline history and finding me the top five win-win deals of the cap era. Let's see what Matt came up with.
Hey, everybody. It's Matt Larkin here, managing editor and senior writer at Daily Faceoff. And when we talk trade deadlines, sometimes it's fun to remember the blockbusters, but also the lopsided deals, the Philip Forsberg trade, if you will. But sometimes both teams come out better as a result of a trade. And that's why I want to count down my top five win-win trades at the deadline in the salary cap era. First off, we have in 2007, the Boston Bruins acquire Andrew Ferentz, Chuck Kobusu from the Calgary Flames for a 2008 fourth round pick, Wayne Primeau and Brad Stewart. And of course, we know why Boston benefited here. Andrew Ferentz ends up staying for several seasons, ends up being a crucial piece of the 2011 Stanley Cup puzzle. Gets 4 goals, 10 points for a guy who's not really offensive during that cup run. But the Flames, it's the throwaway piece, the fourth round draft pick that becomes TJ Brody, who becomes a stalwart on that blue line for 10 years in a shutdown role, playing the right side with Marc Giordano. So both sides of that trade come away feeling great. In 2011, the Boston Bruins acquire Rich Peverly and Boris Falabik from the Atlanta Thrashers for Blake Wheeler and Mark Stewart. To me, this is about as win-win as it gets. On one hand, Boston, they need to replace Mark Savard, who's hurt. They get a great faceoff man in Rich Peverly, adds great depth to that lineup, helps them win a Stanley Cup. And the Atlanta Thrashers get literally their top scorer in franchise history, Blake Wheeler, more than 800 points with the Thrashers. And of course, the Winnipeg Jets ends up becoming the captain. Again, the definition of a trade that really benefits both sides. In 2014, this one's a little different, so stay with me. The Florida Panthers acquire Roberto Luongo and Stephen Anthony from the Vancouver Canucks for Jacob Markstrom, Sean Matthias. The Panthers, they bring Luongo home for those great twilight years. Gets a .921 save percentage over the next four seasons before retiring in 2019. And the Canucks, they buy low on a prospect in Jacob Markstrom. He has some of his best seasons there, top 10 in the Vezina vote twice, but also the Canucks get a little bit of help with that cap recapture penalty on Luongo after he retires. They had to pay that for 3 years. In 2016, it's a true hockey trade. This happened 6 weeks before the deadline, give or take, but a very important deal. Ryan Johansson goes to the Nashville Predators. Seth Jones goes to Columbus Blue Jackets, one for one. They even cross paths in the airport that day. And to me, it's sort of an old-fashioned trade. You don't see too many of those these days, a true hockey trade. Johansson becomes Nashville's number one center. The tenure there doesn't end great, but he helps them get to the Stanley Cup in 2017. Seth Jones becomes the number one defenseman in Columbus on some of those John Tortorella-coached teams that had some pretty good years. Lastly, 2023, a recent trade. The New York Islanders acquire Bo Horvat from the Vancouver Canucks for prospect Atu Ratti, Anthony Beauvillier, and, very importantly, a 2023 conditional first-rounder. So what happens? After that trade, 30 days later, Patrick Alvin takes that first-rounder, flips it to the Detroit Red Wings for Philip Hronek, who is now a crucial component of Vancouver's D-Corps, playing with Quinn Hughes on a first-place team. And, of course, the New York Islanders, they get one of their best franchise players in a while, Bo Horvat. They end up signing him 6 days after the deal to an extension. So both parties come out feeling great. And those are my top five win-win deals of the salary cap era. Please head over to dailyfaceoff.com for all the trade deadline coverage you need.
There you go. Big shout out to our friends over at Fountain Tire. Find out more information at fountaintire.com. Continuing along here in hour two of the 2024 Daily Faceoff Trade Deadline Special. Let's get back to our main panel with Carter Hutton and Colby Cohn. Guys, I haven't talked to you in like 12 minutes. I miss you, Colby and Carter. We got the final deal on that Tyler Toffoli move going to Winnipeg. Colb, surprised there's not a first rounder involved there?
I was surprised for sure. I think, you know, you look at what you're buying in a player like Tyler Toffoli, you're buying 30 goals, and you're not buying 30 goals just once. This is a guy who continually does it. This is a guy who's been a playoff performer. And I'm kind of big on the fact that I know we live in this what have you done for me lately society, especially in sports. And I think hockey's gotten worse and worse over the last couple of years, or better, depending on which way you look at it from. But when you're buying 30 goals, I think there's a lot of value to that. And I think you see that in the way players are getting paid right now, guys who can put the puck in the net, that 25 to 35, goal range. And I would have thought that Tom Fitzgerald would have gotten a first round pick for him. Now, having said that, Carter, I think teams can smell the desperation in Jersey. They just fired their coach. The goaltending situation is not good. I think you're probably one phone call away from playing for the New Jersey Devils here in the next week or two. But I just think teams smell blood in the water. And when that's the case, I don't think GMs have any leverage to go out and maximize their assets. I'm not sure where you sit on this one, Carter, but ultimately I think it was a little bit of an underwhelming return for Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, I think so. I think it became the situation, though, by Fitzgerald sitting on his hands early and not identifying the goalie situation, right? Especially when you have your star player, Jack Hughes, coming out and making statements about not getting saves. And if they get saves, they're going to win. Like, what message does that send to your team, your leaders coming out there? And I feel like Fitzy is an older guy. I spent some time with him. I know him well. He's a hard-nosed guy, old school, where you have this younger generation. You know, I don't know how that's going to translate with a player like Jack Hughes and, you know, your future. So for me, I think this starts a free agency for this team, not identifying their goalie situation, going with Vitek Vanacek, I think, who has done a great job, but it's different when you have the keys to the castle. And I've been in that situation before where, you know, you are the guy. It's a lot of different pressure when you have a veteran with you that can help you. And I think that's where now they've got to the point where it's now or never. So they have to start moving guys. They show a little bit of weakness where I think if trades like this would have happened earlier, maybe, and they're in a better position, they want to move on to Foley, they have a little more strength because they're still a solid team making a chance at a playoff run. So I think sometimes waiting too long also costs teams too. Now they're weak, and you're seeing it right now with the return on Toffoli.
Frank Cervalli sitting up in the Wendy's Insider cam. He's on the phone. I love when the chat notices that Frank's on the phone, potentially cooking something up. That's the beauty of the Insider cam up in the top right corner. Just looking at the West Conference again, I sound like a broken record, but we've been using the term over the last 2 weeks, the arms race, right? Vancouver goes out, they get Lindholm. They added Zadorov early in the year. Out in the Central now, we've gotten two big moves from Winnipeg. Colorado has made, what, 3-4 trades now already in the last couple of days. We know Dallas loaded up with Tanev. Edmonton went and got Henrique. Vegas has made their big splashes. You can kind of go on and on. Is there a team, we'll call it a group of seven, with the three in the Central I mentioned, then Vancouver, Edmonton, LA, and Vegas in the Pacific. Colby, is there one of those teams you're looking at and going, they need to do something else today? Their GM should be working the phones maybe harder than the other six.
Well, Tyler, you're not going to like my answer to this, but it's the Edmonton Oilers. They need to be a little bit more active. I thought Henrique and Carrick were decent ads. I've come on your show hundreds of times and say, I don't trust Vinny Desharnais on the third pair in the playoffs. I think Stuart Skinner has been a little bit hot and cold, depending on how that team has managed the puck. I don't think it's all on him. I think a lot of that has to do with puck management, but I just would like to see them add a little bit more into that group, potentially on the back end. Okay. I mean, look, I was a defenseman. I think you win through the back end. I think Vegas is proof of that with the way that they've stacked up their back end after winning a Stanley Cup. And I look what Colorado has now done with their roster. And to me, they've separated. So I think Ken Holland, in his last year as general manager, I think he should swing for the fences. Like I do. Maybe he needs to get creative. Maybe Dylan Holloway has to be included in something. Maybe they need to start thinking about moving first round picks. Like, I just think when you have Connor McDavid, you have Leon Draisaitl, you need to push all in all the time, like the Vegas Golden Knights are. So I think Edmonton, Carter, for me, needs to be a little bit more aggressive and a little bit active if they want to hold pace with the Colorado Avalanche, who I've got Colorado's lineup pulled up on my iPad right here, and they've got all their new additions, plus you get Valerie Nichushkin back from the player assistance program. This lineup is ridiculous. So, Edmonton, you're on the clock.
Yeah, I know this is kind of Tyler's dojo here, the Oilers Nation here. But for me, it's, you know, just the rest on Stuart Skinner. I've touched on this a few times. I feel like last year, almost there's like a burnout rate with him. You know, Jack Campbell was kind of unserviceable last year by the time, you know, late in the season. And for me, Picard, like, yeah, I thought he played well last night. I definitely don't think that loss is on him by any means. But for me, it's, you know, you need him to peak at the right time. So are you going to use a bit of a platoon headed into playoffs, get him going and make sure Skinner is rested and peaking at the right time? And I think it starts with your back end, because there's nights where they're getting exposed still a lot. And, you know, you have two of the best players in the world. And I think, you know, they're going to find that chemistry where they can split them up or put them together, you know, depending on the way the game is going in that sense. But I think this has got to be a win now, because I feel like with McDavid and Draisaitl, at some point, you know, it's got to be now or never here in Edmonton. And I think they have to send that message to these players as they head into playoffs, as they're looking around and they're seeing Colorado beef up, they're seeing Winnipeg beef up. You know, what is the response here in Edmonton?
Yeah, just looking in our chat, and a big shout out to the north of 25,000 people watching across all platforms right now, Daily Faceoff, Twitter, Facebook, the Instagram, and as well as the YouTube. If you're watching on the YouTube, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button as well. Tim, Nate, they both agreed with you guys. They said the Edmonton Oilers. Amanda's in. She agreed. Oilers still have a lot of holes. We had another comment that said, hey, when you have McDavid and Draisaitl, you shouldn't have a first round pick for the next 10 years, which may be a bit of an exaggeration, but the point is I mean, they did move the first for Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick in that package. But when you look at the prices that were paid today for premium rentals like a Tyler Toffoli, you kind of go, okay, Edmonton had to give up their first couple of late round picks there. I know they got the salary retention. That's a must for Ken Holland when you look at the cap picture. But I do think now looking at a move like Tyler Toffoli for a second and a third, it's kind of like, why wasn't Edmonton in the mix there? They have a hole on the right side. Jordan Eberle was a name Frank had mentioned they had interest in, and you know, maybe didn't have interest in a lot outside of Eberle on the market. And I think I do agree with you guys. That's a bit of a mistake when you look at the way that forward group is right now in Edmonton and how much pressure they're under to get results and go on a deep, deep playoff run this year. So, I mean, still time until the deadline. I'll turn around, look at the clock behind me, 2 hours and 34 minutes until that horn will sound. I'm actually now wondering if there will be a horn that actually sounds out of this thing. I didn't test it out earlier, so it might scare the shit out of me when we hit 3 o'clock Eastern time. But I agree with you guys. I think there is some pressure on the Edmonton Oilers as we go through Frank Saravalli's trade targets list. Let's get a little reset of this list. You just saw the top five there. Riley Smith at number two. Pavel Buchnevich rounds out the top five. The next five are all still there. Sorry, Max Pacioretty in at number three as well. Numbers 6 through 10, Nick Dowd at the Capitals, Ryan Johansson out in Philadelphia, Matt Dumba, Frank Vetrano, Jacob Chychrun, the second D-man kicking around in Frank's top 10. 11 through 15, Tyson Barrie of the Nashville Predators. They have one retained salary spot left. I would imagine that's going to be used to knock Tyson Barrie in half and find a new home for him before the 3 o'clock deadline. Jason Zucker, Eric Brandstrom in Ottawa, and then a couple of goalies, Carter, and we'll pause there and shift the focus to you and the goalie market. Jake Allen at 14, Jacob Markstrom at 15. A lot of smoke connecting Allen to the Avalanche, a lot of smoke connecting Markstrom to the Devils. What do you make of those two potential fits here on deadline day?
I think they're like two different fits for sure. You know, just with the fact that Jacob Markstrom, you know, has term, like Jake still has a year, but I think he's more of a starting goalie, right? You're going to bring in Jacob Markstrom. He's going to come in and change your team's goalie dynamic, whatever it is. Jake Allen is going to come in and just be that veteran that can come in, slow things down, be a good mentor to whoever it is. And I think Colorado is a perfect fit, especially we touched on that earlier, Georgiev managing his minutes and Jake Allen, who is a guy who's won a Stanley Cup as a backup. And there's stories of Jake Allen. I spent 2 seasons with him in St. Louis and we became really good friends, still are to this day. He is a good locker room guy. He's quiet. He goes about his business, you know, and you'll hear that he's just a good pro, right? And that's a term used a lot, you know, especially when you talk about hockey guys. You know, he's a guy you don't have to worry about. He's low maintenance. And if he comes into that Colorado team, he's not going to rock the boat. He's going to come in and solidify that spot. And there's stories of him during that Stanley Cup run playing like goalies that they play against, you know, whether it's in the final against Tuukka Rask, and he's trying to emulate Tuukka Rask for those players. And so he's a great team guy. And I think no matter where Jake ended up, he's going to be a great fit. The Markstrom one's a tricky one for me, right? Is it like, do you move him? It's got to be the right move, and or do you wait till summer, right? But for me, obviously he's been tied to Jersey, and this is one, if they make the trade now, I understand it, but then I look back and like, why wasn't this trade made 2 months ago when you're still in this race? And you know, you can't look back on it now, but I feel like it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because Dustin Wolf has been unbelievable in the minors for a long time now. So I think it's his time to move up. And I think Markstrom at this point, with everything the Flames has given up, you know, they've given up all their prospects, their players, you know, he wants to move on and go to a place where he can win because he's not getting any younger anytime soon here.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Habs reportedly open to keeping 50% of Jake Allen's contract as well, which again would be another reason why the Colorado Avalanche, even though they've moved on from a handful of pieces already in terms of draft picks, could be in the mix to shore up the goaltending side of things. Colby, is there a team out there between the pipes you think should maybe be more involved in this market than they are?
I think it's probably the Colorado Avalanche. I really do. I'm not a believer in Georgiev. I'm just not. I've not just what he does on the ice, but what he does in practice every day, how he is in the locker room, how his teammates feel about him, the confidence that he gives his D-core. So I think that if there's any position that maybe the Avalanche don't have, I do think it's potentially that sort of 1B type of guy. And I think, you know, Jake Allen would fit a nice need there for that team. And, you know, I got to know Jake at a couple of different weddings over the last, you know, 10 years or whatever, just through mutual friends. I mean, seems like he's a quiet guy who probably goes into any room and fits pretty quickly and pretty easily amongst any type of group. So I think that's potentially a spot for goaltending, obviously the New Jersey Devils, but I think they're probably just being, you know, asked for such an insane number for any goaltender just because of the desperation fact. Let me just throw one name out on the market, and I'm literally throwing this out there just based on the fact that I watched this guy play in Chicago and I've seen him resurrect his career, and I know he signed an extension, right? But the Chicago Blackhawks have plenty of opportunity to eat whatever amount of, you know, 50% of any salary. What about a guy like Peter Mrazek? Again, it's hard to ignore that he's probably the only bright spot in Chicago other than maybe Connor Bedard and Alex Vlasic this season. Maybe teams are calling Kyle Davidson. I had him on our show yesterday on Morning Cup of Hockey. He talked with Johnny and I for a little bit. We didn't ask him about the goaltending situation because, again, he identified that he thinks he's a good bridge goaltender for the next couple of years. But if somebody came in and offered, you know, a really – you know, overpay type of deal for a guy like Mrazek, who, again, he has played well in Chicago, even though he's left out to dry more times than not. Maybe that's your veteran, Carter, a guy who's been around, who's played in big markets, who's dealt with pressure in Toronto and Philadelphia, albeit not that well. But maybe that's a guy teams want to kick around the tires on. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely think there's value there. Obviously him being on an extension changed the deal, and they have space. My only worry there would be the fact of like the maintenance factor of like, you know, what you're getting with Jake Allen versus what you're getting with Peter Mrazek. Mrazek is more of a guy that is, you know, he's got more of an opinion. He's more outgoing. He's definitely not going to, he's a little bit more sandpaper, which is okay. And he knows his role, but I'm sure for him, he would love to go to a place, especially he's got the contract. So for him, there's really no loss in the sense of going somewhere. I just don't know if that's something that a team is going to want to bite off, like a Colorado or like a team where, you know, maybe someone where it's just 1 year, you know, you can get a rental, you know, depending on where the Wings go here. Like, are the Wings going in? Another guy I think of is like James Reimer. You know, if they're going with Alex Lyon and Ville Husso coming back, you know, Husso's on term, you know, is Reimer a guy you could move as well? So there's so many different dynamics. I like Jake Allen more in this sense, just because of the fact of his, I know what he brings to the table as a person off the rink, where you don't want to go in and sometimes it's the trades you don't make that are the most important ones, right? You don't want to mess up that chemistry, and that backup goalie doesn't necessarily mess it up, but you want a voice in the locker room that can, you know, really stabilize this Colorado team.
Well, and I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now, and just to kind of get a little bit of details, his extension this year, he's at 3.8, and then he's got 2 years at 4.25. So if you eat half, you're looking at like 2.1. Maybe someone else washes it and you get it down even lower, but he does have a modified no trade clause too. So I didn't know that when I floated it. But again, I was, you know, in that organization for a couple of years, and I really liked Peter. He was a guy who, you know, had an opinion and had things to say. And, you know, Frank is kind of letting me know that I'm way off the target there, which is fine. That's why we have Frank here. But again, I just think, why not make that phone call? Why not check in on a guy like that? I, I, you know, I know Frank's telling me I'm crazy, but sometimes you got to find a diamond in the rough and look where maybe it's not so obvious.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't have extended him if they had any interest in trading him. You would have kept 50% and then move on. Yeah, some other names that could potentially be on the market. I mean, the big one, 49, Linus Allmark being on the trade targets board is crazy, but I think we all recognize that's a long shot. Potentially a guy like Alex Nedeljkovic out in Pittsburgh as well, who's putting together a pretty nice year in a backup role behind Tristan Jarry. We are just over 90 minutes into today's 4+ hour stream. A big shout out to everybody watching along on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. Let's reset kind of what we've seen so far today in the first 90 plus minutes of today's show. Pat Maroon is going from the Minnesota Wild to the Boston Bruins, a 6th round pick in 2026, the expected return there. So the Bruins add some size to their bottom six. The Jets make their second big splash of deadline season. Obviously, they jumped the market about a month ago, grabbing Sean Monahan. And then they give up a 2nd and a 3rd rounder today to bring in Tyler Toffoli from the New Jersey Devils. 50% retention on that deal. The Ducks make a futures play. They grab Ben Myers from the Colorado Avalanche, a 5th round pick in 2024, going the opposite direction. So Myers gets a chance to get into the lineup and play a little bit more with a young rebuilding Ducks team. The Florida Panthers, they already made a move for Vlad Tarasenko earlier in the week, and it didn't cost them all that much. The benefit of, well, being in Florida, Tarasenko with the full no move clause controlled his destination, basically said, I only want to play in Florida. They scoop him up. They grab more depth and some veteran leadership in Kyle Okpozo, a 7th round pick and a prospect. That 7th round pick can go up as high as a 5th rounder if certain conditions are met. So Okpozo goes from Buffalo to Florida to play in some playoff hockey. The Washington Capitals, after waiving Evgeny Kuznetsov last week, managed to move him to the Carolina Hurricanes, 50% retained. The reason this kind of made sense, his buyout, if they would have bought him out this summer, and this is according to our friends over at Cap Friendly, would have been $3.8 million in dead money next season and then $2 million in a cap penalty the year following. By retaining 50%, it's basically 3.9 for 1 year. Then you don't have to deal with that kind of money. So Washington not only gets a better financial deal than a potential buyout here in this one, but they managed to scoop up a 3rd round pick in the transaction as well. And Carolina adds a playoff performer, a bit of a rehabilitation project, I suppose. But again, you get some money retained on this one. You have the wiggle room. You add Kuznetsov. You added Jake Guentzel to the mix last night in Carolina, rounding out a forward group now that maybe has a little bit more offensive upside than they've had in years past. And that's always been the thing with the Canes, right? We've talked forever about, are they missing that one star piece, that one guy who can go out there and make something happen, score a big goal in a playoff game? Kuznetsov, again, struggled these last 2 years on, off the ice, whichever way you want to dice it, has not gone well. But Jake Guentzel is that guy who can score. I'm interested to see maybe if him and Sebastian Aho can end up being a dynamic duo for the Carolina Hurricanes. Colby, when you look at maybe your power rankings out in the Eastern Conference, how much does the additions of Guentzel and even to an extent Kuznetsov change the Hurricanes for you? Were they always in the mix with teams like the Rangers and the Panthers? Does this put them in there? Where do you stand on the Canes?
Yeah, like I think this changes my opinion about them a little bit. I always thought that they were in the mix, but I thought that they still needed to add more. And I love their back end. I really do. I mean, you look at you know, the group that they have on the back end. Freddie Anderson just comes back into play. You know, I'll let Carter speak to the goaltending position because obviously that's his wheelhouse. But you add a guy like Jake Guentzel, who's a pure goal scorer, who gets around the net, finds different areas, you know, like we were talking about with Toffoli. He's good at finding those little soft dead areas around the net, creating space for himself and kind of depth around the other team's net. He's also a responsible guy. And I think Rod Brind'Amour preaches and demands that from his players in his lineup to continue to be responsible. So you add him and then you add Kuznetsov, who's motivated. Okay. And who has had big playoff runs before and has been a big playoff performer before. So I think you're going to get 125% effort from Evgeny Kuznetsov. Jake Guentzel is another guy who you're going to see come in and score goals and be that threat they haven't had. So if anything, to me, when I look at the decor and I look at now the forward group, I think this might push them ahead of the New York Rangers. The only thing left would be the goaltending duo in New York of Shesterkin and Jonathan Quick, which I do think is better than the situation in Carolina.
I just want to push back a little bit on the Kuznetsov thing. Sorry to jump in, Carter. Like, you mentioned this being a wake-up call, Colby. I know nothing about the guy personally. Has he not had a couple of wake-up calls already? There was the video a few years ago. He goes to the players' assistance program. Like, at what point do you run out of wake-up calls? Like, I have a hard time. Like, again, I don't mind the move at all from Carolina. $3.9 million for next year, though. You kind of gulp, and it's like, this better work, or that's a significant chunk of salary cap space that's just kind of wasted. I understand there's upside here, but how can you trust that Kuznetsov's going to be motivated? What makes you believe that this wake-up call is going to be the one and the other two weren't?
Well, he's been asking out of Washington, which seems like for a couple of years, okay? And we see players that get a fresh new voice, although there is a new coach in Washington this year, and Spencer Carberry, who I just personally think the world of, played a couple of games for him on a conditioning stint once, and really believe in the guy in knowing him for a short period of time. But again, like, he now is going to want to go and prove that he can do it without Ovi, and he can do it without these other star players around him. And here's the other thing. Okay. I've gotten to know Rod Brind'Amour decently well over the last number of years, just from doing his son's games at Quinnipiac, running into him when I'm broadcasting and getting an opportunity to talk to him. I even ran into him at a rest stop one time late at night on the, 95 in Connecticut, and got to pick his brain a little bit. And I just know that that's a well-oiled machine in that locker room. Okay. There's only one way to play, and it's Rod's way. And I think he's going to be able to plug him into that system and get more out of a player than a lot of coaches would. So I have belief in the move. I don't think that 3.9 cap hit is as big a deal as you're concerned about, Tyler, because I think you got to remember the salary cap is going to go up a couple of million bucks last year after living in this flat cap society that we have. So I'm trying to pull up his playoff numbers right now, because if I remember correctly, he has had some pretty good success at times in the playoffs. I think one year, looking at his playoffs, he had 32 points in 24 games. You know, he had 5 points in 6 games last year. He had 5 points in 8 games in the playoffs, 6 points in 7 games. So it's not as if he vanishes when he gets to the playoffs and you don't see anything about him. So I think for all those reasons, you put him into that room, into that environment with Rod Brind'Amour, I like the opportunities and I like his chances of succeeding in Carolina.
Black cap society sounds like the worst hockey themed punk rock band ever, Colby. That is that's a great little run of words though you threw together. I do.
Is
like
it not
that.
What we've been living in the last couple of years though?
Hey, that's certainly one way to frame it, man. I get it. And with the jump going up of potentially as much as $4 million, I know our friends at Cap Friendly, when they build in their projections for next year, have it up at 87.5. A lot of teams are itching for maybe even bigger jumps in the next couple of years. Carter, where do you come out on the Canes? They obviously add some forward depth. Can they trust Freddie Anderson, though, to stay healthy for a long playoff run?
Yeah, that's my worry there. But a healthy Freddie Anderson makes this team very, very scary, especially adding the offensive output. You know, this is a team that's been pretty good this year to begin with a save percentage under 900 as a team, which is, very scary. When you think of Freddie Anderson, I think of an upper echelon goalie in this league. I know he's getting a little longer and he struggled with injuries, but for me, he's always been a guy that's steady. You know, when he's in the pipes and when he's healthy, he can do a lot of damage. And the way this team can defend and suffocate the life out of a hockey game, Freddie Anderson is the guy for that job. You know, it's going to be predictable hockey. And for me, I understand, you touch on Rod Brind'Amour, the well-oiled machine and the way he runs things. I think it's a fit for me where I remember playing in Nashville and we brought in James Neal and Mike Ribeiro, two guys that are known to, rock the boat a bit. Ribeiro had his struggles similar to Kuznetsov, right? But he came in and because of the culture that was built there already with like Shea Weber, Pekka Rinne, Mike Fisher, he had to fall in line and he was very successful for us with the Preds. So I hope that for Kuznetsov, he can go there and reestablish himself. And I agree with what you said, Ty. He's had a lot of chances. He's had a few slaps on the wrist where he didn't get anything. And where if that was another player, I always thought it was funny where sometimes if that's another player, if you're not as good as Kuznetsov, you're probably getting a little bit more in more trouble. So it'll be interesting moving forward. And I love Freddie Anderson. I love this team and setup. And nobody wants to see this Canes team with this offense and with this goalie playing well.
Our friends at Betano are always updating their Stanley Cup odds, and I want to dig into that a little bit now. Betano, the game starts now, betano.ca, 19 plus, please play responsibly. And it's a little surprising, honestly, considering everything that's gone on at the deadline, to sit and see the Edmonton Oilers, Colby, at plus 550 at the top of the odds board. I know there are factors like public money and things like that that, you know, shift these things. You could have gotten the Oilers when they were down in the dumps earlier on at close to 18 to 1 at some points. Florida, Colorado, New York, and Vancouver round out the top five. And then the next five is who I want to ask you about. Dallas, 10 to 1. Then Winnipeg, Boston, Carolina, and Vegas. Which one of those, the 6 to 10 range, which one of them aren't getting enough respect in your eyes?
The Carolina Hurricanes. For all the reasons I just announced, you go out. You go big game hunting with Jake Guentzel, something that they've been criticized for not doing at deadlines past. And again, I've talked about their decor. I don't think we talk about teams' defensive groups enough. And when you look at Stanley Cup champions, you look at Vegas last year, they were stacked on the back end. Even this year, they're stacked now on the back end with the addition of Noah Hanifin. And again, I just go back to even, you know, my own playoff experience as a Black Ace with the Boston Bruins in 2011, our decor with Chara, with Seidenberg, Ferentz, McQuaid, you know, Shane Knighty, Thomas Cabrelle, Johnny Boychuk, you know, we were very big. We were strong. We could move the puck. And I think those are big, big factors in teams that win the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think Florida kind of knew that and felt like maybe that's where they potentially lost out last year when they played against Vegas. This year, they're getting big time play out of a guy like Forsling, Ekblad, Montour, you know, goes down the list. So I think the Carolina Hurricanes right now aren't getting the respect that they deserve in those Betano odds to win the Stanley Cup. And again, I've been on that Oilers bandwagon, on that Oilers train all year. It does surprise me to see them at the top of that list. It really does. I think the Florida Panthers and the Colorado Avalanche deserve to be at the top of that list. And I think those are the two teams right now, if all the trades mesh and work well, that I would expect to see playing against one another in June for the Stanley Cup.
Another thing that's interesting when you kind of consider this playoff picture that's forming and you look at the odds, it's like, you know, I was going to say a team like Dallas at 10 to 1. It's like, I like that roster more than I like the Canucks roster, and they're battle tested a bit. They've been on a couple of runs. I do still think there's value in that. I'd have Dallas closer to Colorado. I'd have Dallas right up where Edmonton is, if I'm being honest. But then you have to remember, and it's something Frank brought up a couple of minutes ago, just the fact that that West is going to be a slugfest, man, just to get through the first round. And I know every team in the Stanley Cup playoffs generally puts up a good fight, and there's not bad teams in there. But when you look at what Dallas could potentially have to do if they're, let's say, the 2 seed in the West, that means you could potentially have to play Vegas in round one as a crossover team. And then in round two, you got to play Winnipeg or Colorado. Then in round three, you're probably playing one of Edmonton or Vancouver. And it's like, holy crap. Like, by the time you get to the end, you might be out of gas. You look at the East and a team like Florida, you could be sitting there. The Islanders could sneak in. Hell, you could be getting a matchup with the Islanders in round one. Or if you're the Canes, you could have the Flyers in round one. And not to, again, disrespect any team out there, but I think we can recognize that the Flyers and Islanders aren't the Jets and the Kings, Jets and the Golden Knights. Like, the path for some of these teams in the East could just be a lot more wide open.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And you look at the outcome of the Bruins-Toronto game last night, where everyone was starting to say, oh, I think this is the year Toronto wants the Boston Bruins in the first round of the playoffs. And the Bruins certainly had quite a loud answer for that in that game last night. And yeah, look, I think Florida continues to separate themselves, even though they lost to the Flyers last night. What a gutsy effort by the Orange and Black. Garnet Hathaway gets a goal with less than a minute to go. Just a hardworking play. And John Tortorella comes out after the game and just says, we just know how to outwork and continue to work and continue to play straight lines. They've used 13 defensemen this year, the Philadelphia Flyers, which is super impressive. But I just, you know, look, I think Frank has been on top of the Dallas Stars all year. He picked them to win earlier. He's continued to stay on that. And he's always had a lot of belief in the Dallas Stars. Me, again, it's Colorado. It's Winnipeg. It's some of those teams at the top right now that are more impressive to me. The moves they've made are more impressive to me. And again, I just have a hard time thinking that the Colorado Avalanche aren't going to push through the West, especially with some of the moves that they have made over the last couple of days.
There you go. The Stanley Cup odds over on Betano. Sports betting with fast withdrawals and cash out. Great odds for live betting with live streaming and live scores. Please play responsibly. Must be 19 years of age or older. We are creeping closer and closer and closer to the halfway point of our deadline show. Just over 2 hours until the bell will strike for teams around the league. And while there's always big talk about the top five names and who are the premium rentals, those aren't always the ones that end up making the biggest impact, which is why I tasked our managing editor and senior writer, Matt Larkin, with looking back on the top five under-the-radar deals of the salary cap era. Let's take a listen.
Hello, everybody. It's Matt Larkin here, managing editor and senior writer at Daily Faceoff. And when we talk about the trade deadline, we look back, we like to think about the big blockbuster deals, but sometimes it's the under-the-radar trades that actually put teams over the top. So I want to count down for you my top five under-the-radar deals of the salary cap era. First, 2009, the Pittsburgh Penguins acquire Bill Guerin from the New York Islanders for a 2009 third-round pick. And at this point, Bill Guerin's 38 years old. He's winding down a very productive career. Penguins had lost the year before to Detroit in the Stanley Cup Final. They needed that veteran leader. Bill Guerin comes in. He provides some levity, some leadership, and he has something left in the tank, 7 goals, 15 points, helping the Penguins win their first Stanley Cup of the Crosby and Malkin era. Next up in 2011, this one did not result in the Stanley Cup, but still a very important trade. The Ottawa Senators trade Brian Elliott to the Colorado Avalanche for Craig Anderson. Swapping goalies, it felt like a punt. Two goalies needing a change of scenery, and what happens? Craig Anderson goes on a heater, posts historic numbers down the stretch and going into the next season with the Ottawa Senators. And look now, more than a decade later, Craig Anderson is the Ottawa Senators' all-time leader in wins, helped them get to within a single goal of the Stanley Cup Final in 2017. Very important part of that franchise. Next up, 2013. Again, this felt like a throwaway move. The Chicago Blackhawks get Michael Hanzus from the San Jose Sharks for a 2013 fourth-round pick. The Hawks were sort of going bargain shopping at this point. They needed help up the middle, and Hanzus, kind of on the back nine of his career, provides a big lift and helps in the faceoff circle, gets 11 points in that playoff run, and helps Chicago win their second Stanley Cup. They end up winning 3 in a 5-year stretch. Now in 2016, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they get Justin Schultz from the Edmonton Oilers for a 2016 third-round pick. Justin Schultz was the mega prospect coming out of Edmonton for a while. His game suddenly went in the tank. They lost confidence in him. He was struggling to get minutes on that team. Pittsburgh needs speed. They take a chance on Schultz. He's helpful on that first run in 2016 to the Stanley Cup, but the next year he's especially helpful. Chris Letang is out. Justin Schultz finishes top 10 in the Norris vote that year and is a major component of the 2017 back-to-back Stanley Cup champion team. And lastly, in 2018, the Washington Capitals acquire Michael Kempney from the Chicago Blackhawks for a 2018 third-round pick. And again, this felt like kind of a throwaway trade. Kempney on a weak Chicago team struggling to even find his way into that lineup. But what happens? He goes to the Capitals. He ends up on the top pair with John Carlson playing 18 minutes a night. And that duo, 56% goal share at 5-on-5, helping the Capitals to their first Stanley Cup. And that is it. Those are the top five under-the-radar trade deadline deals of the cap era. For more trade deadline coverage, please head over to Daily Faceoff. We have you covered all day with everything that's happening. DailyFaceoff.com.
There you go. Our top five under-the-radar deadline ads brought to you by Found Tire. Beginning this Monday, you can save up to 25% off on select tires until April 20th. Make the shift to more savings. Visit FountainTire.com to find your nearest store. Gentlemen, we just look back at five under-the-radar ads from back in the deadline. When you look at whether it was your time in the league, your time with the team, or even just observing the league over the last couple of years, is there an under-the-radar deadline ad that stands out to you, Colby?
Well, look, I don't know if this one would maybe constitute as under the radar, but, you know, I do think a deadline acquisition that happened in 2022 by Joe Sakic bringing in Artturi Lehkonen, again, not quite under the radar, but wasn't necessarily heralded as this major star power move. And you look what they gave up. They gave up a second round pick and Justin Barron. Okay, so you didn't give up a ton to get him. He comes into your lineup and scores 8 goals in the playoffs, has 4 game-winning goals for the Avs, including the game winner to win the Stanley Cup. And now he continues to play on the top line, maybe even in the top 6, depending on how some of these new moves shake out for the Colorado Avalanche. So I thought that was a move that probably didn't get quite enough love to Joe Sakic and the Colorado Avalanche. And, you know, maybe I'm a little biased because Joe Sakic was my favorite player growing up. But ultimately, I love that move then in 2022, helps them win a Stanley Cup. And if they're going to win another cup this year, he's a guy who's going to continue to have to play a big role in the offense for the Colorado Avalanche.
Lehkonen and Manson in one deadline, and they didn't even have to give up a first round pick. I know Justin Barron was in the one deal, but didn't have to give up a first round pick in either of those ones. Carter, what's an under the radar move that stands out to you?
Well, I don't know if it's totally under the radar, but I always just like going with the goalie ones, right? I think about when Ryan Miller was traded to St. Louis, how that was a big flop, and everyone always talks about adding a goalie and what it's going to be. I always touch back on the Dwayne Rolison one going to Edmonton, and everyone knows how that's ended with him getting injured in the Stanley Cup final. And Dwayne Rolison, a mentor of mine, you know, went to UMass Lowell. I think Kobe knows that. I was a UMass Lowell alumni and Riverhawk myself, and Rolly was there before me, and a guy I always looked up to. So what he did at Edmonton in that run is, you know, historic, and obviously getting injured, I think if he doesn't get injured, they win the Stanley Cup. So that's kind of where I'm at, just thinking in that mindset now of where we're at in the season. If a team can add a goalie that makes a difference, it can push them over the top. And then there's the other side of it, the Ryan Miller trade that was a giant flop. Everyone thought he was going to go to St. Louis and push that team over the top, where it didn't translate. And for me as a goalie, something I definitely can draw upon is the way a team plays, and it takes a lot of time to get into a system and play well. And, you know, for me, obviously, it hits home with, you know, seeing the Ryan Miller trade that I played in Buffalo and I played in St. Louis. So I would love to see someone make a trade for a goalie and it pan out like the Rolison one did.
Tyler, if you scored a goal against Carter Hutton, especially in his upperclassman years at UMass Lowell, you better keep the puck. And I did keep the puck, especially my junior year when I had an overtime winner against him on home ice. Had to bring that one up for you, Carter, especially because I flubbed it and I beat you floor cheese. So I can still picture that goal. You were probably pissed about that one.
Yeah, I was. I can't believe the game was even that close playing at Lowell. I must have been playing out of my mind if we were doing that, because your team, I think your whole team graduated that year, went to the NHL. And I think I'm the only one from my class that had a cup of coffee in the show.
Frank Cervalli over on our Wendy's Insider Cams got one. Frank, give it to me.
So let's call Barry Trotz, GM of the Nashville Predators. He doesn't work in Nashville. He works for Vandalay Industries. He's the importer-exporter, doing both at the same time today, acquiring Jason Zucker from the Arizona Coyotes in exchange for a 2024 sixth-round pick. Now, that pick belongs to the Dallas Stars. So more or less, essentially, this becomes a super late sixth-round pick, more or less a seventh. And they get Zucker really for free 99 is what this is, because they take on all $5.3 million of his cap hit. So the salary is off the books for the Coyotes, which is important to save some bucks if you can. And for the Preds, they continue to kind of dink and dunk here. I told you deadline neutral. Is that the term they use, Tyler, when describing the Preds? And so deadline neutral, I think, is probably a pretty good way to explain it. When you trade out Yakov Trenin, you bring in Anthony Beauvillier and also Jason Zucker. Some would call it nibbling around the edges. I say maybe some smart upgrades for a team that, with UC Saros in net, could be a live dog when it comes to round one.
Not importing and exporting latex products like George Costanza, but depth forwards is what Barry Trotz is moving in and out. Frank, just while we have you for a second, you spoke yesterday about how things were trending towards being a buyer's market. Have the first 2 hours of our deadline show confirmed that? And do you think that's a trend we'll see continue into the final 2 hours?
Yeah, look, I think some of the prices were quite literally ridiculous, as recently as a week ago. The Arizona Coyotes were looking for a first-round pick for Matt Dumba. They were looking for a second-round pick for Jason Zucker. With both those guys, I saw more mid-round selections, and maybe they were thinking they could get a second if they retained pretty heavily on Zucker. I thought even then, probably a bit of a stretch. But what you're seeing now is we are 2 hours and 2 minutes away from the deadline. Teams like Arizona, they had gone into this thinking, we are not keeping any of our pending UFAs if we could just, you know, even get anything for them. We're unloading everything we can. This is a fire sale. So you don't want to be left holding the bag. And if it means sixth round pick, I don't know how consequential that's going to be for a team that feels like they have 30 in the first three rounds over the next 3 years. But nonetheless, I think more important for them to move off of Zucker. And you think about 22% of the season remaining, 22% of $5.3 million in real cash. You know, it's still $1 million plus out the door in real money that means something to the bottom line.
Fair enough. There you go. Frank Saravalli on the Wendy's Insider Cam. We'll let you get back to working on the news. Frank, his Insider Cam brought to you by Wendy's. And how about this for a little sneaky good deadline pickup for you, the listener? $3.49 for a 6-piece nuggets at Wendy's. Why not? And don't forget, Wendy's is letting you win real food with your fantasy teams this year with the Wendy's Daily Face-Off Survivor Pool Monday to Saturday Survivor Contest. You can make your picks and potentially win $5,000 at the end of the year and a handful of great Wendy's prizes throughout the season as well. Under the Radar Moves, the theme of the show.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? that's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.